Well, listen to this story I'm holding in my hand right now. Top cloning experts from Britain, South Korea, and the United States working on ways to use stem cells to treat incurable diseases, gathering in South Korea to kick off a week-long, what they say, secret experiment. What the heck does this mean? The scientists, led by South Korea's Hwang Woo-suk and General George Sutton, they are working on some kind of secret experiment with cloning. They would not say what the experiment would be about, but they said it was expected to be over early next week. A member of the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine says, look, this will be a scientific milestone. Secret experiment. You wonder why there are so many conspiracies on this planet when you hear things like this. Secret experiment. So why do so many people believe in conspiracies? Well, I turn that question to none other than Alex Jones, and we'll be back with Alex Jones to talk about that and many other things in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, his name is Alex Jones. He's an award-winning documentary filmmaker, political researcher. His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, are at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. Alex is recognized by many as the father of the 9/11 truth movement, being the first to question the government's official story. His newest film is called Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State. It details the latest 9/11 revelations. Again, his website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Alex has just returned from London, England. Alex, welcome to the program. How are you?
George, I'm great. I'm always humbled and honored to be on your wonderful broadcast.
I understand you've been on a worldwide tour lately, huh?
Well, I have been traveling a little bit, but I did go over last week until just last night to London, England, to research right there on the ground at point blank range what really happened concerning the 7/7 bombings, and then the dud bombings of 7/21, 2 weeks after those bombings that killed 55 people.
Okay, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight, Alex. And of course, the big question is, and we posed this to you, is why do people believe in conspiracies? What do they want? What are they grasping onto, in your opinion, that lets them just take every little thing they hear and think that there's a conspiracy out there?
Well, there's several different terms or definitions that are connected to the word conspiracy. I mean, if I happen to, post a picture of a pyramid on my website, people go, oh, you're trying to use secret Illuminati conditioning. No, the whole point is I'm posting that pyramid to point out the Illuminati. So there's a lot of people that do take things too far that, read things into cloud formations in the sky. Kind of like my three-year-old sees a giraffe in the sky. I mean, a giraffe isn't really there. But at the same time, the media, the dominant old line establishment media and governments around the world, if you question anything they're doing, if you question that secret cloning meeting, oh, you're weird to question all the top scientists getting together, all these different top scientists and cloning getting together for some secret experiment. How dare you, call it a conspiracy? Well, the police will tell you that when two, teenagers get together and conspire to steal beer out of somebody's garage, that's a conspiracy. So on the other side, we have the establishment and others that are coincidence theorists and want us to believe that, everything happens by random chance. And we all know that's not true. Listen, our founding fathers said, don't trust the government. It's always going to be involved in different corrupt machinations trying to steal your liberty. Have separation of powers, never give up your freedoms, greedily, jealously guard your freedoms, because there's always those conspiring, they even use the word conspiracy, conspiring to take your freedoms. And so, a big part of it is, in America, we've been so free, things have been so good for so long, and things still are pretty good on the whole, that we trusted the government a little too much, and they abused that trust and would just lie on so many different fronts that now the government and many institutions have lost almost all credibility because they've been caught lying more often than telling the truth. In fact, I'd say 90% of the time. I mean, it's almost all lies or at least a spin or a twisting of the truth. And so I've seen, just in the 10 years that I've been on the air, now 11 years, I guess, a total shift from almost everybody I talk to disagreeing with me, ridiculing me, laughing at me, to this point, George, it's hard to find anybody that disagrees with me on the basics. We're losing our freedoms. We're being lied to. There is a corrupt elite. A world government is being formed. So really what's happened, the establishment lied about the New World Order. They lied about their plans to build a one-world government. They lied about their plans to tax the internet. They lied about their plans for cloning. They lied about Prozac and Ritalin. They lied about sodium fluoride. They lied about mercury in the vaccines. They lied about depleted uranium. They lied about 9/11. They lied about Oklahoma City. They lied about the first World Trade Center. And so now, just automatically, people are being skeptical and not believing the official line. And I say that's very healthy.
Now, how do you know what to believe? And the reason for that is I get thousands of emails. You get a lot of emails. I'm sure you and I have seen this group of emails that I've been bombarded with over the last day or two. I'm going to tell it to you. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There is a series of emails going all around the country right now, Alex, that says that the special prosecutor, Peter Fitzgerald, out of Chicago, the one who's investigating the CIA leak story, that he has already indicted the president, the vice president, the former attorney general, and a handful of other people in this case. Now, you know, I've looked at this thing, and I've looked at this thing, and it's going all around the country right now. I'm getting copies of these emails, and I'm saying to myself, there's no way this has happened in this particular investigation.
Well, I mean, you just said it, George.
And are you getting these emails, too?
Of course.
Yes.
And listen, you've got, and I'm not just saying this, it's really true, you've got a good nose for garbage, for lack of a better term, you know, balderdash, poppycock, and so do I. I mean, you know, we see these emails all the time. We will be nuked next month. Doesn't happen. We see these emails. Planet X will get us next week. You know, anybody who puts a date on something, you've got to question it. You know, is there a threat from asteroids hitting the Earth? Most definitely. Scientifically proven. But will it be next week or 2,000 years from now? Chances are it's going to be in the next few thousand years, statistically. You know, a lot of this is just common sense. Also, it takes a grasp of the material. I mean, I'm studying, I'm working, I'm researching many hours every day. And so, you know, there's different genres of conspiracies. There's the type of conspiracies that are provable and demonstrable. It's like when the local news talks about three men robbed a bank and they've been arrested and charged with conspiracy. I mean, that's the type of conspiracies I talk about. And so when we analyze, say, a terrorist event, and I come out on day one and say, looks like an element, not the whole government, but an element of a Western government is behind this, I then have my reasons with a bunch of different indicators when all put together fits the past signature of the globalist. But a lot of cases, if there's been an attack, I won't come out day one and say I think it's the government. I'll say it may be radical Islamists because it doesn't show all of those key indicators. And then it takes time to research and get the answers. But the truth always does come out, George.
I was reading an interview from Robert Lacey, who's an expert in Saudi Arabia. And he says, and this guy is uncanny with his insight, and he was, you know, talking about what has happened in Saudi Arabia since 9/11 and everything else. He says that most Saudis believe that those Saudi hijackers were involved, but that they believe that there was another group that was part of it with them. We're not talking about Al-Qaeda now, just Al-Qaeda. He says there was another group working with Al-Qaeda hand in hand to make these events occur. And I read that coming from Robert Lacey, and I said, you know what? Things that we've talked about on this program, things that you've talked about for the last several years now, for this guy who is an expert on a specific region of the world, probably better than most, for him to have that kind of insight is uncanny.
Well, I totally agree with you. Listen, right now on InfoWars.com, we have the headline, Terror Expert London Bombings Mastermind is MI6 Asset. Group was used by Brits and Kosovo in the late 90s, also in the mid-90s. They were paid by MI6 to try to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi. And on Fox News Channel's Dayside program yesterday, it was revealed by former Justice Department prosecutor and terror expert John Loftus that the mastermind of the last two wave of the last two waves of bombings, Al-Marjan Group, based in London, that its former head is the mastermind, and that this individual is admittedly MI6 and is being protected. And again, this is just mainstream news that they're openly coming out and saying that the individual who masterminded the London bombings of 7/7 and 7/21 is an MI6 asset being protected right now. And then they engage in these psychological gymnastics of explaining why MI6 is protecting him. And then it came out in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer just a few weeks ago. They kind of went back to a Seattle Times article from 99 where the FBI wanted to bust this guy setting up terrorist training camps there in Washington State, and they were told no by the higher-ups in Washington, leave them alone. So bottom line, George, you take this and you combine it with the documentation that on the very morning of 7/7, at the exact same time, exact same places, and we have this from the BBC, Channel 5, as well as ITN, that the British government was running a drill
with 1,000 people.
Yes, in conjunction with Pfizer consultants of the exact same places, exact same time, being bombed, it fits 9/11. The government runs a drill of hijacked jets being flown to the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. When Putin's people in 99 got caught planting bombs in a fourth apartment building in Moscow, when the Moscow police caught them, they said, oh, it's just part of a drill. Why do governments run these drills? Because they can, again, even hire a private group to run a drill. That way, when the NSA and others are listening to chatter, National Security Agency, they hear this chatter and think, oh, it's just a drill. And if any of the government operatives that are carrying these attacks out get caught, they can say, oh, no, we're just taking part in the drill. So you have the drill. That's always just the number one key indicator that it's a globalist operation. And then on top of it, we find out that this longtime MI6 super double agent gopher is running around funding and controlling this whole operation. It fits the exact same modus operandi or signature or a basic wavelength of what's happened in past globalist-sponsored terror events. But again, it's very small groups within our governments orchestrating this, working through the terrorists that they control to carry out these attacks, George.
Have you heard any mainstream media? Any. Now, there was a little clip on the BBC. You had it on your two websites. We had the clip on this program. Any mainstream media at all report on what I think is the most unbelievable portion of that entire situation in London. And that's what you've been talking about right now. And that's the training exercise of 1,000 people on a subway in that region at that exact time. I have not seen one major media outlet, not Fox, not CNN, someone correct me if I'm wrong, do a complete report on that secret training exercise, which the guy who headed it up said, I can't tell you who the client is. It's confidential. I haven't seen that anywhere. Alex, have you?
No. In fact, we called Peter Power of Visor Consultants over and over again, and all he would do was release a mass form email and letter. The Russian news has reported on it. The Chinese news has reported. One Canadian newspaper has reported on it.
And he said that live on the BBC. It was like the day after, wasn't it?
Well, the night of the event, he was on BBC Radio Channel 5. Then the next day, he was on ITN TV. And literally, George, it was like he was reading a script. He said the exact same thing. Then there has been one major TV network that has brought it up to Peter Power. That was Channel 4, and that was just last week, almost 3 weeks after the bombings. And he said, okay, it's two groups I was working for. I cannot tell you. And then another little blurb came out on BBC last week, and they said, well, we can confirm that one of the groups he was working with was private, and the other was London Transportation. And the head of London Transportation, by the way, is a former top assistant to the director of the Central Intelligence Agency during the first Bush administration, and he was one of the top people managing the attacks on 9/11. That is the response in New York City, and we have details of all these individuals on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But for those that don't know, Harun Rashid Aswat, this is the new information, Harun Rashid Aswat, we talked about this last week. It was just little blurbs in the back of British newspapers. It was picked up Monday by Fox News, and Fox News came right out with it. I was shocked and actually told the truth and said he is a MI6 asset and is being protected, and the CIA is hopping mad and wants him arrested, but we really can't complain too much because the FBI wanted to arrest him for having a huge terrorist camp in Washington in 99, in Washington State, and they were ordered by the White House to leave him alone. In fact, we even have that video clip up there, George, if you want to watch it during the break. It says, terror expert 7-7 mastermind was working for British intelligence. Group was used by Brits in Kosovo in the late 1990s. I mean, watching this little clip of Fox News and reading the transcript, it's like listening to George Norrie or Alex Jones. I mean, you're right. This stuff is really starting to come out.
It is so bizarre. I had a chance to reread David Griffin's book after he was on with you and the panel in June. And because he was pretty quiet during that discussion because you and Peter Lance were going at it all the time. Remember that? Well, his remarks in his book are absolutely staggering with the questions he points up. I know we've got, look, we're coming up to a break. There's a lot to talk about with conspiracies. One of them, of course, I want you to refresh yourself a little bit, Alex, about the JFK assassination, only because it sets the stage for something that I think is very important for the rest of the things we're going to talk about right now. But anyway, while you were in London, were you welcomed warmly or what?
No, I wasn't. We were out at the different bombing sites. I also went to the site where they shot the poor Brazilian man 8 times in the head, execution style. Incidentally, it turns out now he was not wearing a coat. He was wearing a light denim jacket that's in style in London right now. He did not jump the turnstile. They ran at him, and he ran about 10 feet because he was afraid of plainclothes men with guns, and they sat on him and then shot him 8 times in the head. Very suspicious. You want a conspiracy, I got one for you on this. But we're outside the entrance talking to women at a fruit stand who saw him be murdered, and the police just walked over the bobbies, and this is on video, and told us to stop videotaping and took my driver's license and my info to put it into the Interpol database. And then I went down to Parliament, where they have just passed a law to ban free speech within a half mile of the Parliament there in Parliament Square. And there were some activists there, 2 days before the ban went into effect with a huge bullhorn. So I started bullhorning. And even before the law had passed or was in effect, the police marched over and gave me problems there. And you've got a link to that on Coast to Coast AM, the video of that happening.
Back in a moment. Also, Kim from Phoenix points out that Fox News' John Gibson was the only one that said the exercise taking place in England was really weird, don't you think? According to Kim, he repeated this a few times. She says, you're right. That was the only mention I heard about that on the news. Well, I'm going to give you a free After Dark subscription for 1 year when you purchase the Perfect Possession Father Malachi Martin CD. What? Yes, I just did a little reversal there. It's the same thing, but to me, it sounds better, doesn't it? You get the After Dark newsletter, a full year subscription, and the CD. It's all one package. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's online now. You can go to coasttocoastam.com as well. 1-888-727-5505 or online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest tonight, Alex Jones. Alex, let's go back a little bit, because I think a lot of the perspective of conspiracies, our decision to lose faith in what might be happening on this planet, started in 1963. I was 13 when John Kennedy was assassinated. I don't know, how old were you then? Were you even born?
Yes, I didn't exist at that time.
Okay, but you have looked into the JFK assassination.
I've interviewed over the years probably over 100 people, including Barr McClellan, LBJ's personal lawyer, and of course, father of the current White House press secretary, who on record says that LBJ told him what the government did in no uncertain terms. And there was a whole, History Channel special concerning that. But, you know, going back 42 years ago now, at the time, they don't have the exact poll numbers from the time, but clearly most people bought the official story, but had questions. Now they do have poll numbers, and in some major polls, it's over 90%. In most polls, it's around 85% of the American people, when asked specifically, with a list of five different questions, will say that they believe the U.S. government killed JFK, and then you have all of the evidence itself. So, you know, I see these politicians and I see these pundits on major, TV news shows still using, oh, this guy's from the grassy knoll, oh, and I bet you believe Kennedy was killed by the government too, ha, ha, ha. Well, it's only about 8% of people that are still laughing. So it shows this disconnect where the vast majority, upwards of 90%, know the truth. Even if they don't have all the facts, they instinctively know. And then you've got this tiny 8% still pontificating from the mountain, telling us that the world is still flat, George.
Well, that's true. But now let me ask you this. When you say the government, in your opinion, Alex, what is that?
Well, when we say the government, we're oversimplifying. There are corporate interests that are bigger than most governments that basically can steer and manipulate our government, the largest and most powerful in the world. And their goal is to expand that control over our population to basically use us as an engine of global domination. And this has been stated in major public white papers by different sectors of the elite. So when I talk about the government engaging in criminal activities, we're talking about very small clandestine groups within intelligence and security agencies. But those small clandestine groups are up at the very top of the pyramidal power structure. And so through compartmentalization, they're able to manipulate and steer our society.
Isn't it also accurate, though, to say, rather than government, a group of individuals who are doing something for their own sinister means?
Absolutely. I agree with you, George. People all the time say, well, you know, a grand conspiracy with the whole government. Why, I'm in the government. My husband's in the government. You're saying they're evil? Absolutely not. I mean, a great example is this terror expert, 7/7 mastermind was working for British intelligence. You know, that's even on Fox News and, you know, in the Times of London right now. Our own FBI tried to arrest him in 99, and our government said no, let him build terrorist training camps in Washington. And then members of the British government in MI5 wanted him arrested in 99. When he went to England, they said no. And right now, the British government's protecting him because, in the words of, you know, former Justice Department prosecutors, they are openly saying that he is an agent, he is an asset, and they're leaving it open for us to figure out why they're protecting him. So time and time again, people want to do the right thing, but this group of individuals in our government and the British government, you know, they're behind these shadowy walls of intelligence agencies, just won't let us do it, George.
No, not at all. And I think, again, getting back to the Kennedy assassination, once all that started, I think we all lost a chunk of faith in everything. And it was never the same. And after that, people then started to question, to doubt, to the point where we are now, where I would say at least 50%, and when you're at that, you might say it's higher. I'll go conservative. I'd say at least 50% of the people don't believe anything they hear coming from official sources.
Well, I agree with that number. I'd say it's about 50%. And then you'll have individuals out there who believe the government or criminal elements of the government, private rogue groups, to be more specific, and thanks for correcting me.
And I prefer that because I think that's more accurate.
No, you're absolutely right. That criminal rogue groups, though they are in dominant control, did carry that out. I mean, you'll have people who believe that rogue groups killed Kennedy, but then they don't believe the government was involved or even had prior knowledge in 9/11. And I'll ask them, I'll say, the government knowingly would do this to Kennedy, but they wouldn't do something to 2,800 and something Americans for trillions of dollars in oil, hundreds of billions in weapons sales, hundreds of billions in opium, and the domestic control, you know. I'm not saying George Bush is behind 9/11. I'm saying interests that control George Bush, interests that control Bill Clinton, interests that, you know, basically own our politicians like pieces of real estate, they did.
And interests that also control politicians in other countries.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all the same.
Yeah, that's what these intelligence agencies do. Listen, you go back 230 years ago, you talk about this cycle of awakening. Nobody trusted the government then. Everybody was waking up and upset and angry, but it was only a very small group that actually stood up. And then for 10 years before the Revolutionary War, there were committees of correspondence where people would have meetings and talk about the crimes that criminals in government and in other private institutions had committed. They would have these meetings. They would then list the crimes and talk about what must be done. Then we got our, you know, new government. We trusted it. We became very, very prosperous because we did, to a certain extent, have liberty, at least for some Americans. And then we got fat, dumb, and happy. We got very, very trusting. That was taken advantage of. Look, human history shows that you always get corrupt elites. You always get king rats. You always get oligarchs in control. And we always go through this cycle. The people get trusting, then they get abused, then they wake up, then they get angry, then there's a revolution or a revolutionary event or events that take place. We get reforms, and then the cycle just starts back over again. And so I think we're at the cusp or the wave right now. I don't think we've reached the apex yet, but we're getting there close towards major reform. But that's a very dangerous time, George, as you know, because some of these corrupt elites that are losing control, that are basically cornered rats, are very, very dangerous right now. And
well, you know what? I think they're capable working with the people that we've heard about. I mean, Al-Qaeda is real. It's dangerous. And it has a hand in some things because I think they're being financed by a lot of these groups, quite frankly.
Oh, they are.
That I think they are very dangerous right now because when we hear these real stories of the possibility of nukes in America, possibilities of nukes in America, I want to stress that, these people are capable of anything in order to continue the violence forever. and that's dangerous.
Well, you're right. In fact, you know, one of the points I wanted to make is that we've heard Dick Cheney in the last couple of years talk about nukes going off in America. Benjamin...
just yesterday, Michael Chertoff at Lawrence Livermore talked about the fact that, and he heads up Homeland Security now, that the number one threat to us, and he said bombings and mass transits, and I'm going to paraphrase him, is nothing compared to the number one danger to this country, and that's a chemical, biological, or nuclear attack. It's almost as if he's telling us, expect it, folks.
Well, I mean, if you listen to what Homeland Security's been saying, they state it's not a question of if, but when. Michael Chertoff's minions have been out saying it's not a question of if, but when. And you're right. At Lawrence Livermore Laboratories yesterday, and we have this posted on Infowars.com, I believe I saw yesterday on CoastToCoastAM.com as well, he just came right out and said, you know, you can forget these train bombings. That's nothing compared to chemical, biological, and radiological. And, you know, this is the point. In San Francisco, in New York City, in New Jersey, I see video and photo images of five-year-old children being searched by police with machine guns. But meanwhile, the Border Patrol has been ordered, this is mainstream news, to stand down in the Texas and also in the Arizona-Tucson sectors. At the same time, we have the federal government coming out and calling for blanket amnesty of the 20 to 30 million illegal aliens that are in this country. They're putting up cameras and microphones all over the nation. They're telling us that the highways of America are going to resemble going through airport security, but the main front door, the gates to the city, are wide open. This is being used to take our liberties and freedoms, and nothing's being done to really stop the terrorist threat. And then we look at the latest spat of bombings that are being used as the excuse and the pretext for all of this, and the mastermind bomber is being protected by British intelligence. And listen, while I was in England, I interviewed David Shaler, former MI5 agent who blew the whistle back in the late 1990s and went to prison for violating their Official Secrets Act. And they never denied that he was right. They said, yeah, what he said is true, but he's going to jail for 6 months for this. They want him to be in there for longer than that, but he only got 6 months. And I interviewed David Shaler, you know, in his hotel room. And, you know, here he was coming right out, George. And, well, here's a quote. Former British MI5 agent says, many similarities between London bombings and 9/11. A former British intelligence agent jailed in 02 for linking the British government with paying an Islamic militant £160,000 in a failed assassination attempt on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. He said this week that recent London bombings have all the earmarks of an inside job, just like 9/11. And he specifically said, Alex, when you've got drills at the exact same time, you know, that's the key, that's the cover. And it had already broken in England back on Saturday night when I was interviewing David Shaler, MI5. He also said, and we've got MI6 funding right now, you know, these unsavory individuals like Harun Rashid Aswad.
Well, see, listen, let me ask you this then. Let's go back to the first bombing on July 7th that killed 52 people. What do you think of these four morons, these idiots, who blew themselves up? I mean, do you think they were part of it? Do you think they were tricked? They were obviously there. Their family members say they died, but we don't understand why he did it. They were good kids, whatever they said. Do you believe they were part of it?
Well, let me be clear, and this is where we get into conspiracy theories. Let's say I'm a cop, you're a detective as well. We pull a guy over. This is an analogy, folks, a parallel. A case point example. We pull a guy over, or some, you know, beat cops pull a guy over. He's got a dead woman in the back of his trunk. Her skin is under his fingernails. And he's got the bloody knife in his glove compartment that fits the stab wounds in her. Now, we take him to trial, but he will never say he did it. He will never tell us specifically where he did it. So the defense is going to bring that up. We know we've got him. He did it. Well, that's where our analysis basically ends with the London bombings. We know that there is a criminal element in global intelligence and in MI6 and in their military intelligence. That's the group we've caught carrying out bombings and blaming it on the IRA, and that's public over in England. We have huge archives on that. So specifically, when we get right down to the nuts and bolts of what happened, we have to speculate. We know the government was funding it. We know the government had warnings. We know that they were running drills. We've got them. We found the dead body in the car. They've got the skin under their fingernails and her blood all over them. Now we have to look at their past operations and the MO and the backgrounds, and we have to assess these four young men who one of them taught disabled children. You know, the other likes to play soccer and isn't religious. It fits the classic operation where they may have even had other drills going on at the same time. I don't believe Visor Consultants was involved. I think they were unwittingly hired. That's why they spilt the beans accidentally. I believe from all the evidence, and again, as detectives, we can only speculate about how we killed her.
But lay it out. Lay out the conspiracy.
Okay, this is the conspiracy, folks. At this point, it does become conspiracy theory. But even Scotland Yard, the incredible thing is, 1 week after, I mean, day one, I laid this out because it fit the MO. We've seen this so many times. Now, I live my life studying this. But 1 week after, Scotland Yard came out in all the British papers and said, we think there was a mastermind behind them. We think they were patsies. They may not have even known they had bombs. So understand, what I'm saying now is what Scotland Yard said, because they're not terrorists. They're not bad. Their top detectives are saying what I'm about to say. And I'm on record on my websites, writing articles the day of the event. I even called your producer up and sent you guys the info the day of the event, that night.
Right.
So again, folks, this is on record. Scotland Yard, a week later, says what I'm about to say. And then suddenly we have the second bombings and we all forget about this. So this is something that fell kind of into the Orwellian memory hole. These guys were hired and they thought that they were taking part either in some type of drill, or they thought they were carrying some other form of contraband, or it's possible, and this is the three scenarios.
So do you think, first of all, they were hired by a group that simply said, we need to see if we can catch you. We need to see, we need to test our security. So you put this bag on. These are explosives,
yes,
but they're
yes.
not hooked up. Please don't touch anything. And you just sit where you're supposed to sit, and let's see if we find you. Something like that?
Yes, sir. And then with the second wave of bombings, witnesses reported that these pops went off, and the people are like, what in the world? What was in my satchel? Oh, my gosh. So in the second wave, this happened, and then you see these people running away. But all Scotland Yard says is that we believe they were patsies, that they were patsies and that they were set up. Then I look at the three scenarios. Were they told it was a drill? Were they told it was drugs? Were they not told, and did the controllers who were carrying out the attacks plant bombs in the bus, or did they plant bombs under the carriages of the trains? Now we have eyewitnesses.
Well, I got to tell you, with everything we've talked about over the years, even if what you say is true with the conspiracy, the added ingredient, which you've now pointed out, which is on the record, that this guy who masterminded is an MI6 agent and is being protected, just makes the whole thing sound horrible, doesn't it?
George, that's all I do. Listen, I have said over and over again on my website, on my own little broadcast, I said it today, I was almost crying on air. I said, I wish it was just ragtag Islamicists by themselves. That is a lot less scary than knowing that there are big corporate private interest manipulating our governments, manipulating us into World War III, manipulating us into this Antichrist beast system. I wish it wasn't elements of the criminal government. I wish that it was ragtag Islamicist by themselves.
We'll be back. An hour to go, then calls.